After the little girl's funeral, the mourners crowded together in her parents' living room. A cloud of regret hung in the air like an impending storm, masking the fragrance of the traditional white lilies that filled the room. Dozens of tribute posters handcrafted by Laura's classmates hung in neat rows above the mantelpiece. But neither art nor words of sympathy could diminish the pain of Laura's heartbroken parents. Their other child, a 12-year-old boy named Aaron, huddled on a chair in the corner of the living room, his red hair standing out like a flag against his ashen skin. A few days ago, he'd started a snowball fight with his little sister Laura at a local park. To escape the rain of snowballs Aaron was hurling, Laura had bolted out onto the snow-covered ice on the surface of the park's pond. She couldn't tell that there was water beneath her feet because the heavy snow had erased any definable shore. The ice cracked, and Laura fell through. Aaron yelled for help, but no one was nearby. He quickly slid on his belly out onto the frozen pond until he was right in front of the open hole. Aaron couldn't make out Laura's bright purple jacket under the jagged pieces of ice, but he plunged his arms deep into the frigid water and felt desperately for her, screaming her name. His hands couldn't find any part of her. He continued to scream and splash long after he knew it was too late. Now, a steady stream of family, friends, and classmates shuffled toward his corner, trying to comfort him, all making a point of emphasizing that it wasn't his fault. But their words only tormented him. They knew, and he knew, that it could only be his fault. He should have been protecting her, not hitting her with snowballs. Mary, a friend of Aaron's mom, walked over and put a hand on his shoulder, then crouched so she was at his eye level. "You did your best," she said, wiping away the tears and mascara that trailed down her face. "It was just her time." But it shouldn't have been her time. Aaron vaulted to his feet, swept past Mary's legs, then pushed clumsily through the cluster of mourners. He plucked his black winter parka from a wooden peg near the front door and hastily put it on, then opened the door to an arctic blast and a cold, bleak landscape. Aaron's mother had been sitting on a couch with her head in her hands, weeping, but she looked up when she felt the cold air rushing in. "Where are you going, Aaron?" she called out feebly. It was all well and good for her to wonder what he was doing now, but she and his father had been holed up in their bedroom for days, ignoring him and crying together. He knew they didn't want him anymore, not after what he'd done to Laura. Without replying, Aaron walked out into the bitter Minnesota midwinter cold and closed the door behind him. He grabbed the handlebars of his blue Electra cruiser, which was leaning against the deck, and used the pair of fur-lined leather gloves he pulled from his pockets to slap the snow off the seat. The curtains were pulled open by a handful of wide-eyed adults who stared out at him. Aaron flipped up the hood of his parka, mounted the bike, and pedaled around the parked cars and down the snow-covered driveway, then turned onto the slushy country road. Powdery white snowflakes were falling, but the ominous gray sky boiling above him foreshadowed more severe weather on the way. His teary eyes made the pine trees blur into vague masses of green and brown that streamed past him as he raced down the road. Aaron didn't have any particular destination in mind. He just needed to find a way to stop thinking about how guilty he felt, at least for a while.